Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is found written in John's Gospel in the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So far the text. In the name of our risen Savior Jesus, dear Christian friends, one of the basic needs that all people have is to live their lives with a sense of safeness. That's why companies hire security guards to ensure the safety of the employees at the facility where they're working. Stores hire security people to ensure the safety of customers. And there are, of course, surveillance cameras that are installed in a lot of public places, like schools, to deter potential intruders and disturbers of peace and safety. And we certainly all recognize what a blessing public safety is as citizens of a secular society. Yet even more do we as Christians, members of the family of God, appreciate the blessing of that sense of eternal safeness that flows from our knowledge that our lives are resting in the hands of our forgiving and merciful Savior God. You may have noticed how often that very reassurance is provided us Christians in both the Old and New Testament scriptures, like in, just one psalm, there are many of them, but Psalm 91, verse 1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Isaiah the prophet wrote, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine, says the Lord." Of course, you recall how the Lord sent an angel to tell the shepherds on Christmas night, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of a Savior born for you in the whole world." And how Jesus told his disciples on stormy Lake Galilee when he came to them walking on the water and they were terrified, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." This morning, as we bask in the afterglow of Easter, we want to consider in another scripture a story through which the Savior speaks to us to assure us of his gracious, protecting, guiding presence in our lives. We want to hear his message, peace, peace be with you. He spoke that message first to the 10 on Easter night, to Doubting Thomas a week later, and then to all of us, his disciples, today. So in our text, John tells us about actually two of the dozen or so resurrection appearances of Jesus. This first one was on Easter night. 10 of the disciples were gathered at a certain location in the city of Jerusalem, having barricaded themselves behind locked doors for fear of the Jewish religious authorities, and filled with very deep angst and fearfulness for their safety, thinking that they were on the Sanhedrin's most wanted list, in danger of being arrested, thrown in jail, and worse. No doubt also that rumor that Jesus' enemies had spread, that the disciples had come out to Jesus' grave in the wee hours of Saturday night and robbed his grave, whisked his body away while the guards were sleeping. That rumor probably had reached their ears and intensified their fearfulness. So as they're gathered there on Easter night, whelmed with grief, thinking the worst, lo and behold, Jesus, the risen Savior, appeared to them in their midst. And we want to notice, again, the first word that proceeded from the Lord's mouth. He said, "Peace be with you." Jesus did not scold them for their littleness of faith. He did not criticize them for their abandoning him in the garden when he needed them the most, and letting him down in that way. His only thought, and here there's a Bible verse that comes to mind too of how the Lord interacted with his disciples then and also us today, where it says in the Gospel of Matthew that a bruised reed he, Jesus, will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. That was his approach to the disciples also on Easter night. Again, his only thought as their Savior was to dispel their fear and build up their confidence and let them know that they had no reason to be filled with fear. Their Savior was alive. He had defeated Satan. He had stormed the citadel of death itself and conquered it. He had removed and done away with that which would have given them real reason to feel terrified, God's righteous wrath over their sinfulness. He shored up their confidence in him as their Savior, that all of this was true by showing them the very hands and the side where the soldiers had pounded in the nails and had thrust in the spear. And Luke also records in his account of this episode that he further verified to them who he was. He was not an apparition, by taking a piece of broiled fish and eating it in their midst, to prove to them, "You're not seeing a ghost. It's really me." And then their hearts, brimmed over with joy, made them absolutely giddy to know we have a living Savior who overcame death and the grave, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him and have in our possession the gift of life eternal. Now, when Jesus appeared to the 10 on that Easter night, there was one that was absent, Thomas. Our text records how when he was informed about how his comrades had seen Jesus. He's alive, they told him. He appeared to us. We saw him with our own eyes. He spoke to us words of grace. He assured us we have no reason to be fearful or anxious. We are safe in his hands, our Savior. His response basically was, yeah, right, tell me another fish story. Till I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were. Till I could put my hand into the place in Jesus' side where that Roman soldier put in, thrust in his spear, I'm not going to accept what you're telling me. So a week later, they were all gathered together, the same location, Thomas being present. And then Jesus appeared again and gave to Thomas the very proof that he insisted on having. Put your finger here, Thomas. See my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side and stop doubting and believe. Finally, Thomas's skepticism was dispelled and he cried out with joy, my Lord and my God. I want to also note, it's noteworthy to pay attention once again to the very first words that were spoken by Jesus on that a week after Easter. He again spoke those words to the disciples and probably particularly to Thomas. Peace, peace be with you. Again, he did not speak words of harsh criticism or an angry rebuke, which really the Lord had every reason to do. He could have said, Thomas, how could you be so filled with doubts after all the time that I spent with you? After all my words to you in the upper room? After all the miracles you watched me do? But no, the Lord did not berate Thomas or take him to task. He spoke to him words of peace, gently and tenderly reassuring him of his forgiving love and reinforcing his tottering faith to help him anchor his trust implicitly in his Savior who had lived and died and rose again for him. And of course, we want to remember this morning, dear friends, that Jesus, as always, intends such stories as these to serve for our reassurance as well. We need Jesus to do this for us, don't we? Even though we've not experienced the trauma of witnessing Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, his bloody death on the cross on Good Friday, his lifeless body removed from the cross and buried in a dark tomb, though we don't have to fear, we pray it will never happen, police knocking on our door and arresting us for being followers of the man from Galilee, we still can relate, can't we, to what the ten and what Thomas were feeling. Are there not situations, circumstances in our lives that make us not feel safe? To be afraid, hearts filled with trepidation. We suffer at times also, like the disciples, with a weak and a tottering faith in the stress and strain of the daily work grind, when pressures mount that seem too much for us to handle, when we suffer bitter grief at the loss of a loved one, when we think about our missteps against God's holy law, when we let Jesus down by failing to listen to his word and obey his commands, then it is that our consciences become burdened with sense of guilt and foreboding of God's just judgment that we truly deserve. And it does not help, does it, that the great accuser comes knocking on the door of our hearts with his insinuations. You are a child of God. You expect to be loved by God and saved with all your faults and weaknesses and shortcomings and sins. than it is that our Savior comes behind the closed doors of our trembling hearts and speaks, as he did with his disciples then, his message of peace, reminding us in the gospel, reminding us in the sacrament, which we again will receive this morning, how I lived a perfect life for you and died an innocent death for you, and yes, I rose on Easter morning for you, so that your sins, which are as scarlet, may be as white as snow. Essentially telling us, peace. Peace be with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Two related truths also that I wanted to present and highlight found in our text from this morning of the story of Jesus appearing to 10 and to Thomas. We learn, don't we, how the Lord teaches, he urges and encourages us to accept the promises that he gives us in his word with the trust of a little child. All the things that he's told us in his word, when our senses, our human logic would lead us in another direction, our Savior counsels us to poke out the eyes of our human logic and to know that when he makes a promise to us, he always keeps it, no matter how outlandishly impossible it may seem from our limited perspective. Sometimes we, like Thomas, perhaps would like to have corroborating evidence for the things we've been taught in the Scriptures to say, if God exists, why doesn't he give us a sign? Why doesn't he show himself to us? How can I know that Jesus really is alive and serving me as my Savior, each day guiding my life for my good, without having any visible proof? If you're ever so tempted, dear friends, well, may you call to mind the words of Jesus to Thomas that night. Because you've seen me, you've believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Remember also what the author of Hebrews says, chapter 11, verse 1, what faith is. You know that definition. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what our eyes can't see. This is what the patriarchs of old were commended for. People like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Gideon, and so forth. All living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised while they were living, but saw them and welcomed them from a distance, laying hold of them with the eyes of their faith. So we pray for that same vision, eyes of faith the Lord granted to his people of old. The other truth we want to highlight, notice how Jesus, after showing himself alive to his disciples and conferring upon them his Easter peace, gave them a very important assignment to carry out in his name. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. The ecclesiastical term for this is the office of the keys. Martin Luther explains it nicely in the Catechism. He says, the office of the keys is the special power that Jesus gave to his church on earth, that is to all his Christians then and now, to forgive the sins of penitent sinners and to not forgive the sins of the impenitent as long as they do not repent. So that's the task the Lord, the risen Savior, has given. And what a privilege it is that the Lord has given to us to apply his Easter peace to the hearts of others. Like in the worship service every Sunday when the pastor speaks the words of absolution following the confession of sins. Or in the Sunday school classroom when a teacher shares the stories of Jesus with their pupils. We're at home when husbands and wives share words of forgiveness with one another in their marriage relationship or with their children and the interactions that they have at home. To say in the Savior's name, the Lord lived a holy life for you. He died to atone for your sins. He arose to show that it's true beyond a doubt. And yes, he's also coming back to take you to be with him in heaven. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be at peace. What a privilege the Lord has given to us to share that message of grace. So in view of all these truths, dear friends, may each day be for us a little Easter celebration when we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, thanking and adoring him with the hymn writer C.F.W. Walther, who wrote, "He's risen, he's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. Break forth, hosts of heaven, in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain their praises prolong. Oh, where is your sting, death? We fear you no more. Christ rose, and now open is fair Eden's door. For all our transgressions, his blood does atone. Redeemed and forgiven, we now are his own." Amen. May the peace of God guard your hearts at peace, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit me.